We're talking this week about the four steps to training a child to do anything. The very first step is you have to set the example for what you're training the child to do.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and you can always listen to these programs with our new apps on Apple and Android products. You can also sign up to get the email blog that corresponds with the program. Everything's free. It's online, parentingonpurpose.org. And this week, the four steps of the parent training process. You told us the four yesterday, the four E's, right?
There's example, exposure, experience, and encouragement. Those are the four headings over anything you want to teach. I mean, even pick baseball. If I want to teach baseball, I've got to set the example on how to hit the ball. Then I've got to hit the ball on the T-ball thing with them. Then I've got to back away and let them practice. And then I've got to give them the attaboy. That was great. That was a great swing. But it's the same thing in handling money. It's the same thing in handling peers. It's the same thing in being a part of the family. It's all about being a leader here. It's interesting. Jesus is with his boys. They're missing it. And they're at the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is the bridge. It's the picture of the major spiritual bridge from Passover, which they just celebrated that night, and the blood of a lamb, to giving them a picture of his blood, the blood of Christ, and giving them that visual. And in that, he does an interesting thing. They have been arguing on the way in, and they got into an argument there over who's going to be greatest. And they missed doing something. What they missed doing was, if you picture being greatest means being a leader, means having servants rather than serving. And no one washed feet. There was no one at the door to wash feet. When we get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jesus, did you dismiss the servant that would have come with the room? Or how did you set the stage? And the basin is there. The water is there. The towel is there. No one's washed feet. Three things are supposed to take place. The host is supposed to give you the kiss of fellowship on either cheek, anoint your head with scented oil, and your feet that have touched the dirt all day. Your feet are very valuable, and you're in sandals. Everything else is kind of covered with all the clothing they're wearing. So he gets down, wraps a towel around him, and he starts washing feet. He finishes that in John 13:15, and he says, you know, I've given you an example to follow. It wasn't just about the foot washing, or we would do the foot washing every time we meet. It was about, I've given you an example to follow. I've given you an example of what it means to be a leader. Do as I have done to you, he says in that passage in John 13:15. I need to set an example. I continually have people either email me or ask me, you know, I know my child's supposed to clean his room in the morning and make his bed, and he's doing it. And I mean, it's hit and miss in our house, but I got to tell you, I don't set a very good example in this area. I don't make my bed, and they don't like my answer. Then make your bed. Wow. Then just do it. Because it may not be in your DNA to do that. It may not occur to you to do that. And it takes an extra 3 minutes to do that. But why should my child exceed my behavior? That's not going to happen. I need to set the example. I need to be way out ahead of my child so my child sees this is adult behavior rather than this is what children do. When you finally get to be an adult, you don't have to do this anymore. I need to set an example, and I need to choose. If this is what I expect my child to do, is this is what I expect my child not to do. Loud screaming and yelling and arguing and whatever, then I need to not do it. I need to set an example in the things I want to train.
Now, what if you're maybe married and you're not really enjoying the example that your spouse is giving to the kids? Then what do you do there?
Well, that's great. And that's a great question. You didn't talk to Rosemary or anything before?
No.
Okay, I just want to make sure. the point here is, we need to be meeting as a couple. We need to decide what's important and what's not important. And I'm assuming my spouse wants to be a leader also. And so I'm assuming my spouse wants to be in on this training.
That's key.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And if we're raising these kids, spouse, do you think it's important for them to clean their room? I don't know. Why would that be? Well, because do we think it's important? Cleaning the room is not the issue. Cleaning the room is the excuse we have. We can use the room to teach responsibility. Responsibility for personal space. You need to do this, this, and this in your room every morning, or you come back and do this, this, and this, plus vacuum your room. We each have areas we need to take care of. If there's two children to the bedroom, we each have our half that we have to take care of. But we have to decide as a spouse, it's called one flesh. When Jesus said, and Jesus repeated it again, when in Genesis it talks about what a marriage is, part of that is, and they will become one flesh. And becoming one flesh is not a sexual reference because of the word become. It's a process of you and I deciding, okay, this is how we're going to function as one flesh parents. It's one flesh parenting. It's like, you know, you're a quarterback and I'm a receiver. And, you know, I got to tell you, I'm very, very used to going long and cutting left. And you're saying, but I throw to the right. And we've got to have a little discussion here on how we're going to win. If I throw better to the right, then maybe you need to learn. And I need to learn how to throw to the left also. We just need to learn to function as one being. Mm-hmm. If this is important, then my spouse and I need to be on the same page. Either way, the room may not be important to my spouse. I need to decide if this is important to my child. And I can make the bed without my spouse. This, what I've done here, is my expectation for this. This is a training template. Why would I ever expect my children to see this as we're striving to train you in the way that you should go so that when you're old, when you're an adult, you'll know how to do it. You won't depart from it. Mm-hmm. Then why would I not point in that direction? And why would I not realize if I don't do it, it's not perceived as adult behavior? Mm-hmm. But again, cleaning your room or any of the things we talk about that a child needs to know, doing chores are not to get the chore done. We're using chores to get the lesson of responsibility done.
Right.
Much of life, we are doing something that translates later on. Walk away from what's pleasurable to do what's responsible. It's not pleasurable to get up and make your bed. And it's not pleasurable to get up first call. It's pleasurable to stay in bed and just meet the desires of pleasure staying in bed. That translates in the adult world mm-hmm. to going away on a business trip and staying faithful away on a business trip. I want to give my child things that absolutely translate, so I need to set the example.
Mm-hmm. And so just returning to this scenario, though, what if you're a Christian, faithful to God, and maybe you have a spouse that's not?
Mm.
So there are two different examples. I met a lady a couple weeks ago who that was the exact scenario. Mom wasn't very interested in Christ. Dad totally was. She grew up kind of straight, did her own thing until adulthood hit her like a 2x4. And she went right back to what she had seen her dad do. So there is that example. I mean, that's a positive case. I'm sure that there's
a great case, because if in that case, I'm the only believer of the couple, boy, I really need to live this life joyfully. My children, if I'm the only believer, if I'm a man in my home and I'm a believer, my wife is not a believer, then my children need not only see me setting the example, but serving my wife. Dad, why she doesn't? Because of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Christ. I'm compelled because of Christ to do this. And they need to see it be a reality, because Christ himself was the bridegroom who came down. His bride wasn't very nice, and he served her anyway. And his bride was a no-show. And yet, in the end, Father, forgive her. She knows not what she's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Father, forgive them. So end of the day here, I'm responsible for me. I can make all the excuses I want. My spouse isn't doing this. My spouse isn't doing that. And just totally shut down. Do your part.
Mm-hmm. And that might apply also then for single moms.
Absolutely. Even more so for single moms. Because my home, kind of the perversely cool thing is just me. I'm not battling another person for consistency, but I need to stay consistent.
Mm.
When my child goes to the other house, I can't control that other house, and I can make myself crazy trying to control a person in another house that I couldn't control when we were married. So why would I think I can do that with all the other implications involved here? Let it go. I need to set an example. And in the single parent home, in the blending family home, in the two parent home, I'm a full-time job for me. Yes, we need to have a staff meeting when we can in the two-parent and blending parent home. We need to have the staff meeting, try to get on the same page, try to find something in the middle where we're both willing to do. But in the end, we love to blame life on other people. We love to blame why we can't do, well, I can't do it because, just do you. I need to set the example.
What about, though, the parents that say, well, there's just some things that I'm okay doing as an adult, and I'm not going to allow my child to do it, but my excuse is always, well, I'm the adult here. I'm the boss.
Well, there are some things. I get to drive a car. They don't get to drive a car. There are some things. However, there are some things, all things are permissible, but not all things are encouraged to be done, Paul
mm-hmm.
says. You know, it's kind of funny, one of the things you're talking about here. When I had children at home before they went to college, I had no R-rated, in my day it was video, I had no R-rated rated video DVD Blu-ray, none, zero, zip. It was PG-13 max, and there was some even PG-13 I didn't have. So my youngest goes off to college, comes back his freshman year, and he spots an R-rated video in there, Air Force One, where Harrison Ford, the president, takes it all back. I love that movie. And Roby says, I can't believe there's an R-rated video in here. I said, well, it is violent, yes. And I didn't have any of those when you were here, but you're gone. And there are a couple.
Now you're an adult, yes, and you understand.
Yes, and there are a couple in there that I want, that and Braveheart. Here we are.
Yep.
So, sorry. I think I am required and I'm expected to make some sacrifices. And they're not really big. No one's making sacrifices in America today. I mean, give it a rest. But I have little eyes watching me, you know, and you've heard this illustration before. It slammed home for me when my son was 4 years old, sitting in my lap, and he was facing me. And he was running his fingers down my nose and rubbing them on his nose and rubbing them down my nose, and like he was pinching them down my nose and rubbing. And I said, what are you doing? And he says, Daddy, you have grease on your nose and I want to have grease on my nose just like you. And we were laughing and I'm tickling him. But later on that night, I went back to sitting in that chair and thought, wow, he watches me at that level. And I remember walking through one of my first churches where I was an interim, and he was behind me, and somebody said, do you realize he walks just like you? And there's just this burden you have. So it became very valuable for me to know I need to set an example. I'm impacting his adult life. I'm impacting his marriage. If I expect him to handle money in a specific way when he grows up, then I need to handle money that way and not be an impulse buyer. And him watching us do this and watching us clip coupons and watching us do all these different things. I remember when I was getting ready to buy a car, I brought my children in the loop early on so they didn't think I'm going out over the weekend and come back with a car. Wow, that was pretty random. No, it was 2 months of doing some research and 2 months of making deals and talking through it with people and picking out the car and figuring out the best interest scenario, no interest, how do I get no interest? I wanted them to see the process of this is an important decision. And I wanted to set the example of living a frugal lifestyle, but I wanted to set the example of giving. So I brought them into some of my giving that we do. And this is how we handle it, 10% to the church. And we're adding a half a percent a year on the other end to give to ministry. And I wanted them to see that while they were growing up. I wanted them to see one of the reasons we don't go out to eat after church while you guys were growing up is we took that kind of money, you know, the $40 to go out to eat, and we put it in a college fund so that we could help you guys with college. I wanted them to see that. I wanted them to know that. I wanted to set the example so that they have something to fall back on. When I was upset with somebody at a church and I had walked away, and it was very abrupt when I walked away, I had to grab Roby and said, come with me, I'm going back in. I need to talk to that man. I know Roby thought I was going back in to take him out or something. And I wanted Roby to stand there and hear me say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I was wrong for the way I said that. We're both going to agree on what we agree on and disagree on what we disagree on, but I had no right to talk to you like that. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And the guy, he was a young guy, he was 17, 18-year-old, looking at me, looking at Roby, looking at me. And I mean, to be honest with you, he didn't even know what to do with an apology.
Right.
But we walked out, and it wasn't that night, because that night was, it would be later, that Roby and I sat down and I said, what happened there? And he said, I don't know, Dad. That was, I mean, I said, hey, I was wrong. I was wrong. I'm being wrong before God. I had to go back in. It's setting an example is not always fun. You know, setting an example where I'm thinking, you know what? I got $100 in my pocket. I'm going to buy that thing. And thinking through, is that always the best? I can. I have the liberty to do some things.
Yeah.
They're just not always the wisest thing to do because of the little eyes that are watching me. We need to think everything we do, we're setting an example.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. And this week, covering the four steps of the parent training process. Today, we covered the first one. Yesterday was a summary, and the first step being example. So if you want to hear today's program again, or even yesterday's, which is a summary of all four of them, you can listen to it online at parentingonpurpose.org, where you can also find links for the Apple app, the Google Play app as well. Everything is there, parentingonpurpose.org. And if you want to find out more about the boys and girls homes at Sheridan House Family Ministries, go online to shfm.org. There you'll find a bunch of resources that benefit the ministry. You can also give to the ministry directly to help the children's homes by texting two letters. Just text SH, it's short for Sheridan House, and send it to 41518, and that'll give $10 to the ministry, and it'll be added to your cell phone bill. Thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us tomorrow for the second step of the parent training process here on Parenting on Purpose.